Good evening.
I turned on?
Yes. It's a blessing to be with you tonight for another opportunity to worship together. Let's imagine that you're waiting for some test results to come in. The doctor walks into the room and he says, "I'm sorry, but you're sick. In fact, it's much worse than what we thought. There's no cure, and it's highly contagious. You're never going to see your family again, or your friends, or your neighbors. In fact, the only people that you will ever be around again are those who have the same condition that you have. So you submit yourself to a life that's cut off from everyone that you ever knew and loved. But then you get a phone call and you find out that there's a doctor that can do something about it. Please turn with me to Luke 17. Luke 17. Starting in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, and he encounters 10 men who share in the same medical problem. They have leprosy. Now, this was a dreaded skin condition because it was incurable, and because if you had it, then you were not allowed to be with those who did not have leprosy. In fact, you were commanded to live outside of the camp. Can you imagine finding a sore on your wrist or perhaps your leg or your side, and you wonder what it is? And so you go to the priest, and then he tells you news that's going to change your life forever. He says, "You have leprosy. You can't live inside the camp anymore. You've got to find your dwelling place outside of that, away from everyone that you know and everyone that you love." And the thing is, if you had leprosy, it wasn't something that you could keep private. Let's say you're walking along the streets and you encounter someone that doesn't have leprosy. Then you couldn't just walk on by and hope that they wouldn't notice the deterioration that's taking place in your body. It says that these men, when they saw Jesus, they cried out to him. Now, this is something that they would have had to do every single time they saw someone. If you were a leper and you saw someone who wasn't, then you were commanded to cry out, "I'm unclean."
Can you imagine how humiliating that would be to address your medical problems every time you were in public? But these men, they don't cry out and say, "I'm unclean." They say, "Master, will you have mercy on us?" They believe, they hope that Jesus can do something about it, and he does. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." He doesn't heal them right there on the spot. But as they're leaving, they're made clean. So there's 10 men, but only one of them comes back. Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Jesus says, weren't there 10 guys here that were cleansed? That were restored? Their lives were to be forever separated from all of those that they loved, and now they can be reunited. So 10 men go to the priest to be declared clean, but only one of them comes back. And this one man who's a Samaritan, he hears something from Jesus that the other men don't hear. Jesus says, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." 1 in 10 connected the blessing with the giver of those blessings, Jesus. This story is a good illustration of a passage that we're going to look at tonight. We're going to be in Psalm 100, and we're just going to look at a few ways that we can have a deeper spirit of gratitude toward God. Psalm 100. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. And we are His. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." We're going to look at 3 ways that Psalm 100 can help us have a heart of gratitude. Number 1, gratitude is seen in our coming. In verse 2 it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come into His presence with singing." If you feel gratitude toward God, then first, you're going to come. Isn't that why you're here tonight? You're here because you want to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ before God, in the presence of God, worship Him, sing songs to Him. That's why we're here tonight. The psalmist says that we should come. Now, I think a lot of times we want to shy away from thinking about church attendance as something that we check off, right? Our salvation isn't based on attending a certain amount of worship services. Okay, Sunday morning, check. Sunday night, check. Ladies' Bible class, check. But it does matter that we're here. Whenever we attend, it shows that we honor God. It shows that we are grateful. Your nephew is graduating from high school.
You receive an invitation, and you're there. You don't do anything. You don't deliver a speech. You just sit in one of the chairs, and your presence says everything. I'm here because I love you. Or your friend is getting married. Perhaps she lives several states away, and you make a long trip to show up for it. She wants you to be there, and you are. But is showing up and sitting in one of the seats, is that all that God wants from us? Of course not. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. In this very short verse, let's notice what is at the end of both of these sentences. What's there? An exclamation point, right? There's two of them. The psalmist is wanting to place emphasis here. He's saying, whenever you do come into the presence of God, then that should be done with gladness. You want to be there. Now, do we always feel good when we come to worship? Of course not. Sometimes you feel sick. Maybe you have a headache. Maybe you're having a stressful week at work. Perhaps you're trying to get your kids ready for church and they're arguing with each other. We don't always feel good when we come to worship. That's not what the psalmist is talking about. He's not saying you have to feel wonderful every time you come to worship. So sometimes we're going to show up and we feel discouraged or sad or beaten down. But we can still choose to be intentional in our worship. I believe with all my heart that we can come into His presence and serve with gladness. And if we are intentional, if we truly do worship, then we're going to leave feeling better than we did before we got here. Number two, gratitude is seen in knowing. Verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. Now, we use the words Lord and God interchangeably. But the word here translated Lord is Yahweh, which was Israel's personal and intimate name that they used to call upon the true and living God, the one that we serve. So he's saying, know that Yahweh is God. We show God gratitude by understanding that He made us. Now, does everyone believe that God is our Creator? Of course not. There are those who wish to take our attention off of God as Creator and focus on something like evolution. It's very convenient. It's some kind of an explanation for how we came to be where we are, but we can kind of leave God out of the equation. So if we understand that that Yahweh is God, then that's going to mean three things, or two things. First, we've got to understand that He is good. It says in verse 5, for the Lord is good. We can see God's goodness in all kinds of things. It's very clear just from looking at the creation He's given us to live in. It's so beautiful. There's so many natural wonders. We have the sun and the moon and the stars. And we have the joy of being around children who are innocent and haven't done anything wrong.
But we can definitely see the goodness of God when we look to the cross. God made us. We did the very thing He asked us not to do. But He still loved us. He still wanted us to be saved. He still wanted us to be where He is, dwelling with Him. And so He gave us His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And Jesus, even on the cross, as people were walking around and despising Him, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If we can't see the goodness of God by looking at the cross, then I can't think of a better place for us to look. And also, if God is Creator, then we are His sheep. Verse 3, it says, "We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Sheep need their shepherd to lead them to where they need to go. They're completely dependent on Him. Without the shepherd, then you can have a wolf that will come in and kill them, or they can be led to where they don't need to go. And Jesus, as our shepherd, if we belong to Him, then we know His voice, and we can follow Him, and He'll lead us to where we need to go. Number 3, gratitude is seen in our serving. It says, "Serve the Lord," in verse 2, "with gladness." Is it merely enough to believe in God? Don't the demons do that and they shudder and tremble? We're going to look at a story in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah poses a challenge for the prophets of Baal. And he says, "I want all of Israel to come and witness this." Verse 20. "So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, 'How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him.' And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, 'I am the only prophet left of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire on it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put fire on it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, He is God.'" Elijah says, "We're going to take two bulls, and you can have one, put it on an altar, and then I'll take the other and put it on an altar. And you can call upon the prophet Baal, and I'll call upon the true and living God. And if your God consumes the bull, then He's God." That sounds fair. "But if the God that I serve, He does it, then He's God." So that's exactly what happens. They take some bulls and they prepare them and get them ready. And so Elijah lets the prophets of Baal go first. And they are calling upon the name of Baal, and Elijah kind of takes an opportunity to poke fun at them. He says, "Well, maybe your God is on vacation. Or maybe He's asleep. Or perhaps your God is using the restroom. We can't help you out right now." And then Elijah takes his bull and he puts it on the altar. And then he asks for water to be poured all over the sacrifice. And he does that 3 times. And then the fire of God consumes everything. The sacrifice, the water. Verse 39, "And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" All of Israel fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord is God."
Now that's a good place to start. But Israel did not repent. Knowing that He is God, that's a great starting point. But what does He want? He wants you to serve Him. In John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love Me, then you will keep My commandments. As Christians, what are some ways that we can serve Him and show Him our gratitude? As we talked about before, we can be here. You're here tonight because you want to worship Him. We can teach a Bible class. Maybe you can teach a children's Bible class or an adult Bible class. Or you can lead a public prayer. Or you can invite a friend to come with you. There's a lot of things that we can do to serve Him. But what if we haven't even taken that first step beyond saying, the Lord is God? During my sophomore year of high school, I took an auto class. It was located at the middle school, so during the afternoons we would get into our vehicles and we would drive over to the shop class. In the same building, there was also a welding class, so we would have our auto class on one side and then the welding class on the other. Now, the classes were separated, but we often mingled with the students from the other class during our break times. I remember talking with one of the boys in the welding class on many occasions about Bible, about God, about just different things like that. And I remember him saying, I know that the Bible is from God. I know that Christianity is true. But I'm not ready to be a Christian right now. I just want to be able to have fun right now. And I know that later on I'll be able to do that. I'll be able to become a Christian. And I remember one time I asked him, I said, well, what if that day in the future doesn't come? He said, well, then I guess that I'll go to hell. I wish I could tell you that he had years of opportunities to make that change. But he died that same year. I know that the Lord is God. That's a great place to start. If that's where you're at, then I know that God appreciates that. Because there's some people that they won't even acknowledge that He's God. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Maybe that's where you're at. No. You've taken a step. You're acknowledging that He's the Creator. He's the one that you should serve. Jesus doesn't just want you to acknowledge that you should serve Him. He wants you to walk with Him, talk with Him, to be His friend. Do you know that obeying the gospel tonight will show God gratitude? Show Him that you love Him? Wouldn't you do that? Or maybe you know that there's some other area, maybe you're already a Christian, there's some other area of your life that's showing God that you don't love Him, that you're not thankful, and you want to make that right tonight. Whatever it is that you need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.